Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and oh, wait, did I say it was Friday?
Start spreading the news.
That, of course, means Schomburg Stew is here.
Hey, what's going on, sports fans?
Yay. So if you'd like to call into the podcast, talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up over there, hopefully sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find me on Twitter. I am at Burke Time, but we still got a few more months before we got to get Stu on Twitter, so we're working on that there. So we will see how that goes. All right, you ready? Here we go.
Okay.
So I guess breaking news, I'd say, I don't know, hour and a half ago, the Patriots have decided to part ways with Antonio Brown. You know, he had a second accuser come out, and then there was reports that he sent threatening text messages. And I'm guessing at this point it was probably just too much for the team to deal with. And, you know, I'm sure there's a suspension coming from the league. So probably just better to cut bait and run here, right, for them instead of dealing with this BS?
Well, if there's one team, maybe two teams that would put up with that kind of nonsense, one of them would be the Patriots. And he did catch a touchdown, didn't he, on Sunday?
Yeah, and last Sunday he did. So, yeah, you know, the weirdest part I heard about this second story was, you know, Sports Illustrated came out and reported all this as fact, but this morning the quote I heard from the second accuser, and I don't know if her name has been released, and now she hasn't filed a suit or she's not pressing charges like the other girl, so she's not looking for any kind of payday. But, you know, she received these texts from a phone number that apparently she said she thought belonged to Antonio Brown. So, you know, Sports Illustrated really went out on a limb saying, oh, yeah, these were his text messages. I did see something that said the NFL did confirm that they came from Antonio Brown. I don't know how they did that. You know, I would be interesting to know, but to run with a story like Sports Illustrated did on just a quote that they thought that it was from a phone is, you know, is kind of damning on their part, because if this would have been wrong, you know, they would have just screwed this guy over.
Yeah, you would think that they did their due diligence and were pretty 100% certain that their sources were correct. And it looks like they were right, but they could have been up for a multi-million-dollar lawsuit if they weren't.
Yeah, I think it more looks like they got lucky. You know, I just think they wanted to be the ones to break this story, and they were willing to take the chance. You know, and the other humorous thing about this is maybe those texts did come from a phone that Brown had at one point in time, but there's absolutely no way to prove that he sent them, because obviously anybody can use that phone. Any one of his, you know, posse or group or however you want to look at it could have picked up that phone and sent messages.
And I'm sure he's going to use that as his defense.
Yeah.
If it ever comes to court.
Well, you know, I think he'll have to use it as a defense when the NFL decides to suspend him, because there's just really no other ground at this point in time for them, right? I mean, he's got to be handed some kind of suspension.
Woody, I was thinking about how many games. Do you think any more than four?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe six. You know, the tough part with all this, and I always hate when this happens, technically, he didn't break any laws. So, you know, I mean, it's just not cut and dry on what, you know, what actually happened between him and these women. It's always going to be he said, she said now, because there was just no formal investigation, nobody filed any charges. The one woman went the civil route instead of going to a criminal case, which is much easier to prove. Again, the frightening thing for me with that is, you know, it screams I'm looking for a payday. It's kind of frightening because, you know, did he do it? Didn't he do it? I don't know. I don't have all the information. So,
well, a lot of women in these kind of cases are very reluctant to do anything about it because it always comes down to he said, she said. He might say, yeah, she said it was okay, and she said, no, I didn't. And how are you going to prove it one way or the other? And a lot of times the cases go nowhere, and the woman's reputation is forever damaged.
So, yeah, you know, it's tough to prove.
Very difficult.
You know, I mean, I kind of understand that, you know, you don't want to go through that as, you know, as a woman. So, but yeah, I don't know. I don't have all, you know, like I said, I don't have all the facts in front of me, so I don't know what actually happened. I'm just going off, you know, the different reports I've heard. I'm not going to go out and investigate this any further or anything like that. So we'll just take it for what it is.
Yeah. Considering that it was a New England Patriots involved, were you surprised that they made the decision to cut him?
No, not after this. You know, like the first one, like I said, I could understand because we're talking civil suit here. And that's just such a whole different landscape than, you know, anything else here. But now you're getting into this second one with threatening messages, and you know, none of this happened in the first case. I really just think they didn't have a choice, and it had to end. He had to go.
Yeah, I suppose. But as you pointed out, though, and I think it was quite important that he does have an entourage. And he could always say that, I didn't do that. I didn't make those texts. Somebody else used my phone and did that. And how are they going to prove that he did or didn't, one way or the other?
Right. I mean, yeah, I guarantee you that his agent, which is Drew Rosenhaus, is already playing that card somewhere. You know, anytime somebody brings that up, you know, all he's going to say is, well, you know, Antonio didn't send him. And, you know,
yeah,
that's all he has
exactly
to say, because there's, you know, absolutely no way to prove it. And
right,
you know, the weird part is, you know, like I said, I would like to know how the NFL knew it was him, you know, because again, she said she thought. So it was just kind of like, well, that's, you know, that's not a gigantic amount of evidence there. So
yeah, she thought, it sounds to me when she says a statement like that, that she's not convinced and entirely convinced that it was him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if it was him. I mean, you could see a guy like this thinking he's bigger than everything and, you know, he's going to get her to, you know, not say anything. Or then again, you know, there could be a guy in, you know, and I don't know what kind of, let's call it an entourage that he has. So, you know, maybe he's got a guy who's that quote-unquote enforcer and, you know, tried to handle this for him. I mean, I wouldn't put that past anybody.
No, and And admittedly, this guy is not much of a human being. I mean, he's been in and out of trouble in the league and everywhere else for a long time. So he probably did it, but it's going to be difficult to prove.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, again, you know, that's the toughest part of it is, you know, with a guy like this and the reputation he has, it's hard to take that look of innocent until proven guilty. You know, so immediately everybody's going to think he's guilty.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, yeah. And it's just kind of like you put the, you know, you almost put the burden on him to prove he's innocent, and
yeah.
That's as difficult to do as proving he's guilty.
It'll be interesting to find out what kind of reaction that this comes from the New England Patriot fans. Are they going to say, oh, he was railroaded, he didn't deserve this? They should have kept him.
Now, you know, I don't think he was there long enough for them to even care. You know, he played one game, and, you know, that was it. I mean, they had good wide receivers as it is without him. So it's not going to be that big of a deal that he's gone.
No, they have enough depth to not really be overly concerned about having to let him go from their roster.
My guess is he's probably done for this year. I don't think there's another team that's, you know, going to be willing to bring him in and have him serve the suspension and, you know, that kind of stuff. So my feeling is we won't see him until, you know, any possible time next year. But there are a lot of, you know, I've heard, you know, three or four different guys in this short, you know, hour and a half or whatever that this has happened, saying they don't think he ever plays again. I don't believe that, but what side are you on?
Well, knowing the NFL as I do, and as you do, I don't think his career is over yet. I think someone's going to pick him up next season.
Yeah, you know what's weird is I feel at this point there is only one landing spot for him. There is really only one team that he can play for, but to do that he's going to have to mend some fences, and honestly he's got to go back to Pittsburgh if he wants to play. You know, I just can't see him going in new anywhere else and being able to function. You know, the Steelers have a repertoire with him. I get that he was a complete jackass going out the door at the end of the season, but as we've seen, that's kind of who he is. He's a complete jackass.
Right.
So I they could get over that, you know, and possibly work something out, especially for the fact that, you know, at this point in his career, it's not like he can ask for top wide receiver money. So I think
that'll be
attractive to a team going,
yeah.
He's going to have to take a pay.
If he apologized to Pittsburgh during the off season and said, I'm a changed man, I'm not going to do this anymore, give me another chance, would they do it? Probably.
You know, I think he's got to work out those problems with Ben Roethlisberger. You know, because they had some issues there when he was leaving. Brown said some things that he probably should have kept his mouth shut. But again, as we know, he's not good at that. And, if he can get that, you know, they can work it out.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. But as you said, I don't think it's going to happen until next year.
No. So, well, you know, the way I look at it is he's got all this time to work on it now. You know, because it's week three. So, you know, he's got, you know what, it's 18 weeks. So he's got 15 more weeks of this season and then all off season to work this out with Pittsburgh. I just can't see, you know, looking around any team that would want to, you know, want to kind of bring him in and deal with the chemistry. Because you got to realize this is a guy who will – literally take over your locker room. You know, and I think that's also part of the reason New England had to let him go, because you realize that every question, no matter what player they were talking to, was going to be about Antonio Brown.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Well, I'm sure he'll get an A in that, in the anger management course he's going to take during the off season.
Yeah. So, you know, that, you know, I mean, I, you know, I guess I did kind of think maybe there's one other team that might actually look at him, and that would be the Dallas Cowboys, but that's just because Jerry Jones is so arrogant as an owner that he probably thinks he could, you know, work this out or do whatever with him. But yeah, I definitely think it's kind of the Steelers, or, you know, everything else is just kind of out the lunch for him. So it is possible we've seen the end of his career.
It's very possible if Pittsburgh doesn't reacquire him. I think that's it. I think his career is over.
So, you know, and that, you know, that'll be one of those things that'll be, you know, it'll be sad because obviously he's a fantastic talent, but, you know, he won't have anybody to blame but himself.
Yeah, that's it. And well, there have been some players like that, in not only in football, but in other sports as well. In baseball, example, there have been several talented players who just emotionally couldn't cut it in the league and had to be dropped. I can think of one in particular who played for the Cubs a few years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm lost. I don't know who it was. So.
Well, I'm thinking of Milton Bradley Jr.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he was a nut job. So, but, yeah, you know, I guess, you know, those things kind of, you know, kind of happen. But, while we're hanging out on the NFL, you know, they did have a Thursday night game last night. Of course, I could not watch it because I still don't have the NFL network. But, you know, not another, you know, I guess, well, it's, you know, I mean, it was just kind of another dog of a Thursday night game. You know, Jacksonville basically dominated Tennessee going on to a 20-7 win. Tennessee didn't even score until the fourth quarter. You know, I know everybody has a new hero now in this Gardner Minshew, the Jacksonville quarterback. So, you know, at least we got that out of it. But, these Thursday night games are just horrible. I don't know.
Amazing how bad they've been so far.
You know, obviously they're going to keep doing them because the networks are going to continue to pay them.
Right.
You know, and for whatever reason, it's football, so people watch it. But, man, I don't know.
I'm still not convinced that Jacksonville is a bona fide contender. There's been some hype, but I'm not sure yet. I don't think so.
Yeah. You know, they had both these teams at kind of contenders at the start of the year, and I'm not buying either one of them. I mean, Tennessee looked great week one against Cleveland, and I think that questions Cleveland more than anything because they haven't been very good the last couple weeks, and this was Jacksonville's first win, so.
Yeah, I'm wondering what, when the NFL makes these matchups, these Thursday night matchups, do they do it? Do they study the teams and say that, hey, this is going to be a competitive game. I think this will make for good Thursday night football viewing. I wonder how they actually wind up scheduling those games and the teams involved.
Yeah, well, you know, like this one was a division game. You know, both these teams are in the AFC South, which is probably the worst of it. Football, so they have that going for them, each other. So,
yeah, that you would think they would pick some marquee teams on Thursday night. That I guess you just can't do it week after week after week. The Patriots and some of the other top teams.
You know, I mean, the other way to look at it is this is the only game, so football fans are going to watch it. It really doesn't matter who plays. You know, they're going to turn it on. You know, it's, you know, unless you've got something else going on, you know, like obviously, you know, Cubs and Cardinal fans would have tuned into something else last night. But, you know, if you've got a baseball team that's out of it, like so many of them are right now, you're going to watch football and they can basically give you whatever they want. And there you go.
Yeah. Football can be a dominant sport in terms of ratings that, especially when there's not any competition, at least in the market that didn't carry the Cub-Cardinal game. By the way, that game is official, just in case I should have pointed out, but the Cardinals I held down for a 2-1 win. And I think the Cubs season is virtually kaput by now. I mean, they're not going to come back.
We'll get to that in a little bit. You know, we figure we go from football to baseball, but there's a little more football stuff that's important, especially among the fantasy guys. Browns tight end David Njoku officially went on the IR today. He broke his wrist in the Monday night game against the Jets. They haven't said if he'll return. So, you know, if you may be hunting down a tight end, which can be tough to do. And then the Carolina Panthers have ruled Cam Newton out for this week against the Arizona Cardinals. So if you were planning on looking at Cam, you're going to have to find another outlet there for your quarterback this week. So hopefully you got a backup. I believe Kyle Allen has been named the Panthers starter if you're desperate and need a pickup. So.
Well, that's pretty desperate.
Yeah, well, in some of those bigger leagues, you have no choice. You know, like we have a 20-team league. Not everybody has two quarterbacks. And, you know, there are times you need, you know, you got to go out and grab one of these guys and just kind of hope for the best. But I did hear something kind of strange about this. Now, you know, we've seen Nick Foles go down. We've seen Drew Brees go down. We've seen Ben Roethlisberger go down. You add Cam Newton to this list. Andrew Luck retires because of injury. And I honestly can't believe I heard somebody say this yet. I think it was today. It might have been yesterday. But they believe that the NFL needs to protect the quarterback even more than they do because they can't afford to lose these marquee guys. What's the next option? You put flags on them and you got to pull the flag off for them to be down? I don't know how much more they can protect the quarterback.
There were two calls in the Bears game on Sunday where were jokes on both sides. On both sides. On two roughing the passer calls that were both totally bogus. And if they enforce that kind of rule, how much more can they do besides that?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm – you know, and that's what baffled me. And obviously, you know, this guy didn't have any other observations. He didn't have any other way to protect the quarterback. So it was just kind of one of those statements he threw out there and just left. But, yeah, I was just kind of like, what more are we supposed to do? You know, I mean, you can barely touch them as it is. You know, I mean, if your hands get up around their face, it's a penalty. You know, I mean, like you said, those two calls in the Bears-Broncos game, they were embarrassing. You know, I mean, luckily for the Bears, it helped them win the game because otherwise they don't win it without that call. But, yeah, I don't know, you know, what else you could actually do.
No, and I mean, it's a contact sport. You know, you can rule out, you can protect the quarterbacks as much as you want, but it is still a contact sport. There's got to be some kind of contact, and you can't just let the quarterback roam at will. It just destroys the game.
Yeah. I don't know if you caught this highlight somewhere down the road. It's been shown quite a bit, but I believe it was Mississippi State's quarterback last Saturday on fourth down and like 16 trying to win the game. The game clock was running down. He had to run. He couldn't find anybody open. And he jumped in the air and got helicoptered and just slammed to the turf. If he was an NFL quarterback right now, they would be talking about throwing those players that hit him out of the league.
When this play happened, was there any kind of penalty called at all?
No, it was just he jumped in the air, so obviously the defenders hit his legs because that's the height he was at. So, you know, he ended up spinning around because there were two defenders that made contact with him. And instead of just flipping, he got turned, and he came down really hard. Luckily he wasn't injured. The sad part was he was a yard short from getting the first down and they ended up losing the game. But yeah, it was just one of those things. I mean, it looks terrible, but you know, you're just kind of like, well, you know, that's football. I mean, he jumped in the air and those kind of things happen.
Right, and I'm glad there was no penalty called, and Did they? You mentioned the NFL considering more protection for a quarterback. What? Primarily, what they
yeah.
do that they haven't done already. That's what I can't figure out.
You know, well, you know, and that was the thing. I mean, he, you know, again, I wish I would have realized who this guy was, but he didn't suggest any changes. He just said that he thought it'd be a good idea for them to protect the quarterback a little more. So, you know, like, great, you know.
Now, the Roethlisberger injury, wasn't that an elbow injury? That was an elbow injury. He was hit on the elbow.
Burgers?
Yeah.
Well, it was non-contact. He didn't get hit.
So there was no penalty in that play, if I remember correctly, though, thinking about that injury.
He blew out his elbow just like a pitcher would have, except he did it throwing the football. You know, and Breeze got hurt because they knocked hands. He was following through on a pass, and the defensive tackle, Aaron Donald, and he hit hands, and he injured the thumb ligament. So I don't know how you stop that.
You can't. You can't stop that. Like you pointed out, I think on last week's show, it's the NFL, it's football, it's a contact sport, so injuries are going to happen. No matter how much you protect the quarterback, there's still going to be some injuries. And I can't see them do anything more than they've done already. It's just too much as it is right now.
Yeah, you know, then, you know, humorously, I heard somebody crying that these injuries will affect the ratings. It's like, no, they won't.
They won't affect
the ratings. Nobody's going to stop watching because, you know, sometimes I wonder why these people are on air, because just some of the stuff that comes out of their mouth is just ridiculously stupid. But
I wonder what some of the old time defensive players in the NFL think about the current state of the rules regarding protecting the quarterback. I wonder what Butkus thinks about it, for example.
Well, listen to a WGN after a Bears game once, and they'll tell you all about it. So
yeah, I'm sure they're laughing about what. The protection that they get nowadays.
Yeah, and, you know, the way, you know, you'd get a kick out of the fact that they have a new nickname for good old Mitchell Trubisky. They call him Stink Bisky. So.
yeah. Well, certainly it looks like the Bears, who moved up to get him in the second pick, made a huge mistake. And I mean, is it too soon to say it, or can we say it right now? Is he a bust? Your opinion.
Yeah, you know, it might be a little too soon. I'd like to give him a little more time, but yeah, you know, it gets to that point where you know, they put a lot of eggs in that basket, and you know, I don't know what happens if he's not the guy, and then you know, you're always going to question. You got to remember they not only passed up Deshaun Watson to take Trubisky, they passed on Pat Mahomes.
Yes. And that looks like it's going to come back to haunt them in a huge way.
Yeah.
But the Bears have never had much success in drafting quarterbacks over the years. I mean, this is not just with Trubisky. It's with almost every quarterback they've had over the past 20, 30 years, at least. When have they ever drafted a decent one? A good, solid quarterback that can last 15 years in the NFL and be one of the dominant QBs. Have they ever done that?
Well, yeah, I think you got to go back to McMahon, you know, and while he wasn't great, he was good.
He was definitely good. And unfortunately, he was injury prone, and that, I think, shortened his career a little bit. But he might do very well
today.
He will do a lot better today because of the protection he would get.
You know, like we talked about the other day, a lot of these guys, those older guys, would be fantastic today, you know, with the way the rules are and, you know, everything that goes. I mean, you know, those guys would have just lit it up.
They would have. And Tarkenton, for example, he was elusive as it was, but can you imagine what the protection he would get, how he would do now?
So, yeah, it's definitely a you know, a scary proposition there for for some of those guys.
For lack of a better word, we're talking about Trubisky. The word that comes to mind in terms of my concern regarding him is just one word. It's awkward. I mean, that maybe that's the word I'm thinking of, awkward. He seems awkward to me as a quarterback. And I think that has to be corrected sooner rather than later.
Yeah, last year, obviously I know they did well, and that's like I heard somebody throw up his QBR, but winning is a big factor on what your quarterback rating is. So obviously if your team goes 12-4, you're going to have a good rating. Last year I thought he relied a little too much on the run. Now looking at it, I understand why he relied so much on the run last year because he's incredibly inaccurate.
Terrible.
He missed the wide open guys all over the place.
Yeah, it's still staggering to me that they won that game last week. And as you pointed out, I think in the email, it's hard to envision that they were able to get that timeout with 1 second remaining. But there were no arguments from the Denver side.
Yeah, I believe it's actually a scientific impossibility that they were able to call that timeout. But, like you said, nobody argued. So there were no questions. And, that's all that matters. I mean, if I was Denver, I'd be more upset about the penalty call that cost me more than the
damn
the clock.
That was a terrible call. And then on the other side of the field, of course, we pointed out that there was a call against the Bears that was significant at the time that also was a very poor call as far as I was concerned in terms of that roughing the passer.
Oh, yeah, that was another ridiculously bad call. So, it was just kind of like, you look at those things and it's like, yeah, great, nice call. So,
do you think that excess penalties could ruin the sport of football?
It's starting to get to that point. Humorously, you brought this up. There was actually a tweet from Tom Brady, of all people, last night saying that he was turning off the game because there were too many penalties.
Interesting.
I thought that was quite funny that of all the guys, here's Tom Brady saying, okay, I can't watch this anymore. You guys are just kind of ruining the game with all these penalties.
Yeah, I have to ask you a question, and not in terms of penalties, and this I need your opinion on. Do you think that there's an excess amount of holding calls in the NFL this season?
Yeah, what was pointed out today, and this was a very good point, teams kind of got on the refs last year for missing a lot of what would be backside holding calls. Where the running back appears to be going one way and then he makes that cutback. So obviously the refs have emphasized looking at this backside holding, and now we're getting too many penalty calls.
Yeah, I think that really ruins the game. There's just so many. A good run, you see a good run on a kickback, on a punt, and there's a penalty, there's a holding penalty on the play. And they start 10 yards back from where they caught the ball. And this seems to happen very frequently, it seems to me, in the NFL, especially this season. And it gets to be old after a while.
So, yeah, it's, just kind of, kind of ridiculous. But, that was something the teams wanted the NFL to start looking at. So they did. So now, what are they going to do? Say, well, don't look at it now?
Yeah, it reminds me of the thing in baseball a few years ago. Remember when they started emphasizing the balks? And really going to watch the balks this year. And the season started out with happening every game there was a balk. But, of course, eventually that went away too. Maybe the same thing will happen with the holding calls this season. I certainly hope so.
I think that will work out. But All right, like you did mention earlier, we had one early day game. It featured the NL Central leading St. Louis Cardinals taking on a team that really just desperate for a win here, almost kind of a must-have win, the Chicago Cubs. And that gurgling noise and stuff that you hear in the background on the podcast right now is the Cubs' season going down the drain as the embarrassment continues. Because let's face it, this is the team with the most talent in the NL Central, and they play like garbage. 2 years in a row, they're not going to make the playoffs. Completely embarrassing. Joe Madden's got to go. But, you know, you even look at a situation like today, they had to go to a bullpen game because Cole Hamels couldn't make the start. They got fantastic pitching out of what has really been a garbage bullpen all year. David Phelps was the only guy who made a mistake. He gave up a two-run single to Yadier Molina. As a whole, they only gave up four hits. They did walk nine, which is a little rough, but they struck out 11. But only giving up four hits and losing is an incredibly difficult pill to swallow, especially when the Cardinals started Michael Wacha, who pretty much gets knocked around by everybody except this embarrassment of a Cubs team.
Yeah, both teams today, by the way, were absolutely atrocious when it came to runners in scoring position. Both were quite dismal. So with that being said, I don't like the Cardinals' chances much to go very far in the postseason.
Well, no, I mean, when you look at it, I mean, in the National League, it's the Dodgers and everybody else. So, you know, it's not like, you know, they're going to do a lot. But here you mentioned the Cardinals were actually 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position, but nobody's going to remember that because they won the game. The Cubs were 1-for-9.
Yeah, they had their opportunities.
So, but yeah, just another, you know, just one more embarrassment. I mean, you can start adding them up with this team. I mean, they're easily, you know, you throw them in there with the Red Sox as one of the most disappointing teams in baseball, you know, and for the Cubs, this is a 2 year span. You know, at least last year they were given the opportunity to get into the playoffs with a game 163. They're not going to get that opportunity this year. You know, Milwaukee doesn't play a team that's over 500. So the only way the Cubs were going to make hay was to win this series with St. Louis. They can no longer do that. The best they can hope for is a split. You know, I won't be surprised if they end up getting swept by the Pirates after this. So it's just, there's no other way to say it. The team's a joke. You know,
they are an embarrassment, and it's a shame that they've come to this level. And they do have talent on the team, but their problems all season has been the same thing over and over again. But RISP, the failure to come through with runners in scoring position, and today's game was just a symptomatic of what the season has been.
Yeah, and, you know, it's 2 years in a row, so you've got a manager who sat on his hands for 2 years in a row watching his team struggle like this. You know, don't you have a hitting coach? You don't have anybody who can step in and maybe say, hey, let's try this or let's shake this up? You know, looking now, and I don't know if this is updated, but currently the Cubs are 5 back in the division, and right now they're a game and a half out in the wild card, but Milwaukee still has to play tonight. So they'll probably be 2 games because they're playing. I forgot which Little Sisters of the Poor team they're playing tonight. Oh, they're playing the 65-88 Pittsburgh Pirates tonight. So, you know, barring something weird, the Brewers probably add up another win. So that'll put the Cubs 2 back. And, you know, now they've lost 4 in a row. It aggravates me. You know, this team just ticks me off.
Yeah, well, I think you would expect to see a lot of changes next season, including a managerial change. And several members of the Cubs are not going to be there next year. Hamels is gone. He's not coming back. That's one player I can tell you right now is not going to come back for next season. And I don't think Russell is going to be here either.
No, he'll definitely – Addison Russell will definitely be moved. I doubt they re-sign Cole Hamels, even though, you know, he wasn't terrible for them this year. He put up really good numbers for them. But, you know, I just don't – you know, they're getting frighteningly close to that luxury tax line, and, you know, it's going to cost money to bring – you know, Chris Bryant is in arbitration, and he's got good numbers. That salary is going to go way up. So, you know, they're going to be paying there. I'm trying to think, you know, if Javi Baez is in arbitration, which I believe he is. Yeah, they got to deal with Bryant, Baez, and Schwarber in arbitration this year, along with Wilson Contreras and Albert Almora. So they're somebody, one of these big salaried guys is probably going to go away. I don't know which one they could move or, you know, if they can get Taker somewhere, but I won't be surprised to see one of, if not two of, these big, big money guys get moved because it's just going to cost them.
It's sad to say this, but I'm wondering if the Cubs are going to be in a rebuilding mode next season.
No, there's too much talent on the team for that, but, I mean, you look at it, you know, they're going to have to decide. Obviously, it looks like Hamels is gone. You know, you're looking at, you know, Castellanos, Cishek, Strope, Kinsler, Zobrist, and, well, I don't even know if Xavier Cedeno played for them this year. And then Jonathan LaCroix, who they brought in. I assume, like, LaCroix and Cedeno and those guys all walk away. I don't know how many of these guys they try to keep. And who they let walk. So, you know, they're going to have to answer some questions. They have club options on like Rizzo and Quintana, which I'm sure they'll pick up, but I'm guessing guys like Garrett Holland, David Phelps, and, Tony Barnett and Kendall Graveman will just be let go into free agency.
Most likely. Yeah, most likely. And it's high time the Cubs rewarded Anthony Rizzo. He's been relatively low-paying contract for many years, and I think they have to do something about that.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing. You know, and then humorously, they actually have a mutual option on Brandon Morrow for $12 million for next season. So,
well, somehow I don't think they're going to do anything with that.
But, yeah, you know, you look at it, I mean, you've got, you know, Lester Haywood and Darvish are all going to make $20 million or more next year. Bryant made $12.9 million in arbitration last year, so you got to figure he's going up over $15 million. You know, Baez made $5.2 million last year, so he's going to get close to $10 million. Schwarber at $3.4 million. I wouldn't be surprised if that doubles and he makes about $7 million. You know, Contreras in his first year is probably going to end up around $3 million. And then you figure Almora is going to probably end up right around $1 million as well. And that's depending on if they can sign any of these guys. So, you know, they're going to be paying, you know, they're going to be right there against the luxury tax. And we saw it kill the Red Sox. You got to wonder if it kills the Cubs next year.
I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen.
So, you know, and I mean, we'll see, you know, and obviously there's no benefits in the minor leagues. You know, I mean, obviously Nico Horner looks like a player, but, you know, other than that, they're basically plucking strings. So you know, and that's like I emailed you about it. You know, is Chris Bryant the sacrificial guy to get traded to rebuild this team? Because you damn well know they're not getting rid of Baez.
No way.
So, you know, but you figure Russell is gone. There's no doubt about it. Addison Russell plays somewhere else next year. But, you know, I mean, like, I don't think there's enough value in, like, a Kyle Schwarber to deal him off to get you the kind of help you need. But, you know, if you did deal Schwarber, you could probably re-sign Castellanos. You know, obviously you'd be trading the lefty bat for the righty bat, but I don't know if that would be bad, but then you would need to bring Almora back to patrol in the middle of, you know, of him and Hayward, and I don't know if they want to do that because it's just quite clear they don't like Almora as a player.
No, and he is kind of regressed in my eyes this season anyway. It's not been one of his best seasons.
You know, you can't hit if you don't get any at-bats. Remember, you were ready to kill Victor Caratini. Got some at-bats, and they, you know, he showed he could hit the ball.
Yeah, yeah, he surprised me, certainly. He surprised me.
So,
if the Cubs trade, as you suggested, if they do trade Chris Bryant, can't they at least acquire an established center fielder in return?
Yeah, they could, but I don't think that's what they're looking for. You know, they need young guys to be able to fill in here. You know, you're looking, you know, John Lester's going to be 36. Darvish is going to be 34. You know, they're not going to be able to pitch forever. You're going to need that next young influence. I mean, even the guys that were so young coming through the system, you know, Rizzo is 30 now. You know, I mean, it's just surprising that, you know, like Bryan is be 28, Baez will be 27. They're not those young kids that, you know, were the big-time prospects that everybody was excited about. They're veteran major league players now, and there's nobody there to continue to fill the void.
Yeah, they kind of decimated their system, their minor league system, and they really don't have anybody – it looks like a can miss in the horizon. I could see Horner possibly playing second base. He looks like he might be a solid hitter.
Second base next year. You know, the problem they run into is it looks like Ian Happ is a bust. You know, they were counting on him. That doesn't look like it's going to work out. So, you know, that's going to hurt. You know, unless maybe he can get it together over the off season, but you know, there's just not a lot of help for, you know, on the horizon for this team.
Right.
So,
well, Happ wasn't even very good in the AAA in Iowa.
No, that's the frightening part. You know, he spent the majority of the year down there and still didn't hit.
No, I think he's a bust. He strikes out way too much, and yeah, he does have some occasional pop. It'll surprise you, but you can't rely on a 200 hitter. You know, that strikes out as much as he does.
Yeah, you know that. You know, I mean, you know, because obviously, you know, they have Schwarber for that, who's going to hit the big, you know, 40 home runs or 35 plus home runs. So, you know, and Happ doesn't have that kind of power.
No, and Schwarber is going to drive in close to 100 runs this season.
Yeah. So. But yeah, it's just, you know, they're coming up to being in really tough spots.
So they're going to have to make some decisions.
It
doesn't look encouraging for next season unless there's some major changes on the horizon.
You know, this is the point where we'll see if Theo can make his money, you know, if he doesn't decide to go back to Boston, but. We'll see, you know, what entails there. But, yeah, it's time for him and Jed Hoyer to, you know, show what they're made of and, you know, get this team back. Because, I mean, there's no excuse for them missing the playoffs. You know,
no,
and this is 2 years in a row.
Is Girardi the new manager in 2020?
You know, a lot depends on what they decide to do. Because if you're going to hire Joe Girardi, he's going to cost you money. You know, because Joe Maddon costs money. That's the problem with these veteran guys is they cost money. They may want a younger, controllable manager, you know, kind of like the Dodgers situation last year where, you know, the front office was giving Dave Roberts the lineup and then the way they wanted everything else used analytically wise. It's possible the Cubs may want to go to on a route like that.
The salary they pay their managers, that's not a factor when it comes to the salary cap, is it?
No, that's just all on the team, on how much they want to spend on a guy.
Okay.
But, you know, it's a nice way for teams to save money.
Yeah, but I don't know who's young and available out there that would be a decent manager for the Cubs. Off the top, I can't think of any.
So, yeah, you know, that's always the big, you know, the big question, you know, there's always some up and coming guy. So, you know, it's, you know, it's possible they'll find, you know, that kind of guy, but you know, you never know. So
right. If they do get a new manager, I hope he's adept at playing small ball, because they're sorely lacking in that area. And that's an important facet of the game that's completely seems to be overlooked now.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, you know, I know, you know, there are a lot of, you know, there's a, you know, a lot of names out there, but like some of them, you'll know, you know, Sandy Alomar Jr., who was the longtime catcher, you know, he's been rumored for a little while now as a managerial candidate. Jay Bell, the former shortstop, I think he had an 18-year career. Yeah, they said 18 years. He's managing in the Yankee minor leagues. Carlos Beltran, just recently retired, almost got the Yankee job last year. So, you know, those are some of the names out there. You know, Gary DeSarcina is with the Mets. He was a major league shortstop utility type of guy. So, you know, and then Chris Woodward, another guy who almost got the Yankee job last year. So, you know, those are some of the names, the younger names that you'll hear and see as these jobs start to become available. So
does David Martinez have a long-term deal in place with Washington?
You know, I actually think he signed for two more years there. I want to say he got four when it started. So he may be there a couple more years.
That rules him out. I'm sure he would love to manage the Cubs.
So, you know, yeah, you know, you do wonder. You know, and I mean, you know, there was for years it was long talked about that, you know, Joey Cora would be a fantastic major league manager, and he just never got a shot. You know, I know a lot of people like Omar Vizquel, but they have more ties to the south side of Chicago than they do the north.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, my fear with Theo, of course, is the fact that he'll go hunting down some former Red Sox, because that seems to be his MO.
You know, it's funny when you think about it. The Cubs look like they're in a downward spiral right now, and disappointing team, and not looking encouraging for next year. And what do I see cropping up now on the telecast over the last few days? Commercials for Marquee.
Yeah. So they're all over the place.
Yeah,
so.
A perfect time to start showing those things, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm sure they had hoped for a team getting better results before they started throwing those out there, but, you know, I guess you take what you can get, right?
Maybe that's a good thing, though. Maybe this will drive the price down so we can all afford to get that channel.
Yeah, maybe. So, well, I probably won't get it anyways, but, you know, that's just kind of how things go for me. So,
yeah.
So, but all right, well, let's jump into our favorite time of the day here. I am going to flip the script on you a little bit with this first pick, because the way the series is going, instead of asking you if the Cubs are going to sweep, I'm going to ask you, are they going to get swept by the Cardinals this weekend?
I would say no.
All right. And then the next one is, can they win these last two games and split the series?
I will say no once more.
All right. Then after that, do they stay at home to play? No, I think they go on the road to play Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But
are
they at home?
Last road. No, they're home. Sunday's the last home game of the season.
All right. So as we know, you know, not only do they just suck, period, but they really suck extra on the road. Can they sweep the Pirates on the road?
No. Pittsburgh's going to get revenge. The Cubs, though, may squeak out a 2 out of 3 against Pittsburgh.
You got them winning the series then. And then since we're, since this will be rolling, we're going to knock out this last one. They go to St. Louis to wipe out the season. It's probably going to be a must-sweep situation. Do they sweep the Cardinals next weekend?
No, absolutely not.
And then do they Did they manage to win that series, though?
Absolutely not.
All right. And then the big one, still haven't lost a football pick yet. We got Michigan State coming to Ryan Field to play Northwestern. I think it's their Big Ten opener. You had Northwestern last week. They got a win for you. You going with them again, or you like Sparty here?
Well, it's a tough one. That's really a tough one, man. But I will have to say that I'm going to go for Michigan State to win that game.
Oh, poor Northwestern. Oh, jeez. All right, well, we will see. We'll lock all that in and see how you do. So.
Yeah, that's a tough pick. That's a tough pick. I had to think about that one, but I'm going with MSU.
Oh, poor Northwestern. You picked against them, and hopefully they will pull off the big upset. But I don't know. I think Michigan State ended up losing last week to, if I remember right, to Arizona State on just some weird ending play of the game or something.
There was some crazy controversy play at the end. Now, who does Illinois play this week?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I didn't look. I know they lost last week.
Yes.
But I didn't bother to see who they were matched up against.
They lost by a field goal last week, I think. 34-31, was it?
Yeah, I don't remember. For some reason, I didn't remember it being that close. We'll see if my internet wants to work a little bit here for me, and I can tell you who they're looking at this week and how it goes. But you know, hey, at least they won their first two games of the year, right?
Yeah, that was an improvement.
So, yeah, I'm having one of those odd internet days where sometimes it works lightning fast and other times I can't get it to work at all. So,
yeah, you like some consistency with your internet.
Yeah. All right. Well, it looks like they got a tough matchup tomorrow against Nebraska. They are at home at least, but Nebraska is definitely improved. Both teams are 2-1 coming in, so we'll see there. But I haven't.
I'm not too fond of. I have to say that I think Nebraska's going to win that one. Illinois has not shown any drastic improvement for me yet.
No, the first couple weeks, I don't think they played anybody who was really good. Yeah, you were right. They lost 34-31 to Eastern Michigan last week. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, Eastern Michigan is certainly not a football power.
No, I know they're generally a decent team, but yeah, that's definitely somebody Illinois should have beaten.
Definitely, no question about it. That's why I'm saying Nebraska tomorrow.
Yeah, because I know, I don't follow a ton of college football, but Nebraska is supposed to be much improved. And I know I saw some people who had them challenging for the Big Ten title. So you've got to think they're going to be better than Illinois.
I would think so. And, years ago they were a powerhouse team, but they've fallen on hard times over the past few years.
Yeah, I remember they were, Rose Bowl contenders back when the bowl games actually meant something. Oh, hey, look at that. Look, we get to get going here if my music will play. Come on.
There it goes.
First, while you're there, hit the link to scroll it over to the Facebook page. But don't forget to tweet me if you can't scroll it properly. Feel free to look me up on Twitter as well. I'm at Mark Clement. And then, if you